A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Your Wi-Fi is slow. You blame your ISP, you restart your router, nothing changes. But the real enemy isn't your internet provider. It's a network called Dove in the apartment next door, squatting on your 5 GHz channel and broadcasting 5 dBm stronger than your own access point. Daniel sent us this one, and it's personal. He wants the playbook. Every unilateral in-apartment countermeasure to win the airwaves, from the merely aggressive to the gloriously absurd, with zero diplomacy required.
This is the Advanced Counter-Broadcast Playbook. I've been waiting for this. We're going to walk through four tiers of escalation: software and config, directional shielding and antenna geometry, active countermeasures in the legal gray zone, and then the nuclear option, the DIY SCIF, turning your apartment into a radio tomb.
I should note that Daniel specified we're never, under any circumstances, knocking on a door or having a conversation with anyone in the building. That option doesn't exist.
And it shouldn't. This is a technical problem. We solve it with physics.
So, who's Dove, and why should you care? Let's set the battlefield.
Here's the situation. You're in a dense residential building. The 5 GHz band is a shared commons, everyone's router is picking channels, and the problem is that consumer routers pick their channel at boot time and then just stay there. Dove's router woke up one morning, saw your channel was the least congested at that exact second, and parked itself right on top of you. It doesn't care about your channel plan, it doesn't even know you exist. It's just a dumb algorithm in a plastic box, and now you're getting 15 megabits per second when you should be getting 300.
And the obvious fix, just change your own channel. Does it work because Dove will follow you next time it reboots, or because every other channel is just as crowded?
Or you're already on the DFS channels, the ones in the 5.2 to 5.7 GHz range that require radar detection, and Dove's router doesn't support those, so you thought you'd escaped. But no, Dove's on the one DFS channel your router picked, because some consumer gear does support DFS now, and here we are. The fundamental problem is that you and Dove are competing for the same frequency in the same physical space, and Dove is winning on raw signal strength.
So what's the first move, before we start building anything?
Tier 1, the software and config layer. This is the stuff you can do from your router's admin panel in about 10 minutes, and it costs nothing. First, channel width. Most routers default to 80 MHz channels on 5 GHz because it looks great on the spec sheet, more bandwidth. But an 80 MHz channel is 4 times wider than a 20 MHz channel, which means 4 times the probability of overlapping with Dove. If Dove is squatting on channel 36 at 80 MHz, and you drop to 40 MHz on channel 40, you might dodge the overlap entirely. Your theoretical max speed drops, but your actual throughput goes up because you're not colliding with Dove's packets.
So you're sacrificing peak speed for consistency.
Right. And in practice, for most people, the difference between a clean 40 MHz channel and a congested 80 MHz channel is night and day. You go from 15 megabits to maybe 150. Second move in Tier 1, transmit power control. Most routers let you adjust this. If Dove is blasting at 23 dBm and you're at 17, crank yours up to match. Your router's amplifier can probably handle it. The limit in most countries is 30 dBm or 1 watt for 5 GHz. You're not going to hit that with consumer gear, but going from 17 to 23 is a 6 dB gain, which doubles your effective range.
But doesn't that just make you the Dove for someone else?
We'll get to the tragedy of the RF commons later. For now, we're focused on winning. Third move, DFS channel hunting. The 5 GHz band includes channels 52 through 144, which are shared with radar systems. Routers that support DFS have to listen for radar pulses and vacate the channel if they detect one. A lot of consumer gear doesn't bother implementing DFS because it adds cost and complexity, so those channels are often empty in residential buildings. If your router supports DFS and Dove's doesn't, you can move to a DFS channel and Dove literally can't follow you. It's like having a private frequency.
And if Dove does support DFS?
Then you're back to square one, and we move to tier two. But tier one solves the problem for a surprising number of people. The limit, though, is that you're still playing by the same rules as Dove. Same power limits, same channel options, same physics. The wall between your apartments attenuates your signal by maybe 6 to 10 dB depending on construction. Drywall versus concrete versus brick. You can't change that from the admin panel.
So that brings us to the physical layer. Tier 2.
Tier 2 is where we start reshaping the electromagnetic environment with actual materials. The core insight here is that you don't need to block Dove entirely. You just need to improve your signal to interference ratio by 3 to 6 dB. That's enough to go from unusable to perfectly fine, and you can do it with aluminum foil.
I love where this is heading.
The simplest move is a passive reflector behind your access point. Take a piece of cardboard, cover it with aluminum foil, curve it into a parabolic shape, and place it behind your router with the concave side facing your apartment and the convex side facing Dove's wall. What you've just built is a corner reflector. It does two things. It blocks Dove's signal from reaching your router's antennas from that direction, and it reflects your own router's signal back into your apartment, effectively increasing your gain in the direction you actually care about. The physics is straightforward. A ground plane behind a dipole antenna reshapes the radiation pattern. Instead of radiating equally in all directions, more of your signal goes forward into your living space, and less goes backward toward Dove.
How much improvement are we talking?
6 to 10 dB of signal-to-interference ratio improvement with a well-positioned reflector. There's a documented case of someone in a New York City apartment going from 15 megabits per second to 110 megabits per second on 5 gigahertz using a 12-inch parabolic reflector made from a cooking pot lid and aluminum tape placed behind their access point against the shared wall.
A cooking pot lid.
A cooking pot lid. The inverse square law is your friend here. Every time you double the distance from the source, the signal drops by about 6 dB. So even moving your access point 3 feet away from the shared wall reduces the signal reaching Dove by about 1.5 dB. Combine that with the reflector, and you've gained maybe 8 dB of effective SNR improvement. That's the difference between a connection that drops every 5 minutes and one that's rock solid.
And you haven't spent a dollar.
Maybe $2 on aluminum foil. But let's get more sophisticated. Commercial panel antennas with a 60-degree beam width cost $30 to $50. You replace your router's omnidirectional antennas with a directional panel. Aim it at your desk or your living room, and now your signal is focused in a 60-degree cone instead of spraying everywhere. The gain on these is typically 9 to 15 dBi, compared to maybe 3 to 5 dBi for the stock omnidirectional antennas. That's a massive improvement in the direction you care about, and the side effect is that very little of your signal goes toward Dove's wall, and Dove's signal hitting the back of your panel antenna is heavily attenuated.
The spite antenna.
The spite antenna. You're not trying to interfere with Dove, you're just focusing your signal so tightly on your own devices that Dove becomes irrelevant. It's the RF equivalent of putting up a privacy fence. And the beauty is, this is completely legal. You're not transmitting more power than allowed, you're not jamming anything, you're just being more efficient with the power you have.
What about positioning? You mentioned moving the access point.
RF geometry and placement warfare. This is Tier 2.5. The 5 GHz band attenuates heavily through building materials. Drywall costs you about 3 dB per wall, concrete can be 10 to 15 dB, and floors are even worse because you're going through joists and subfloor and possibly tile. So elevation matters. If your access point is on a desk at waist height, and Dove's is on a shelf at the same height, your signals are basically firing at each other through the most direct path. Move your access point to a high shelf or ceiling mount, and the signal path to Dove now goes diagonally through more material, or reflects off surfaces in ways that scatter and attenuate it.
So you're tilting the radiation pattern away from the horizontal plane.
And the ultimate placement move is a wired backhaul. Run an Ethernet cable from your router to a second access point on the far side of your apartment, as far from Dove's wall as physically possible. Now your primary signal source is 30 or 40 feet from the shared wall instead of 3 feet. The inverse square law does the rest. Dove's signal has to travel through your entire apartment to reach your devices, and by the time it gets there, it's attenuated by distance and walls. Meanwhile, your new access point is 10 feet from your desk. You've won the SNR battle through geometry alone.
This all sounds remarkably practical. I was promised absurdity.
We're getting there, but let me emphasize, most people should stop at Tier 2. A $30 directional antenna or a foil reflector behind the router combined with smart placement solves 80% of these problems without legal risk or significant cost. Measure your SNR before and after with a tool like Wi-Fi Analyzer on Android or NetSpot on Mac. If you see a 6 dB improvement, you're done. Go enjoy your internet.
But Daniel didn't ask for practical. Daniel asked for the full escalation ladder.
And I'm here to deliver. Tier 3. Active countermeasures. The legal gray zone.
Before you say anything else, is any of this legal?
Let me be very precise. Deliberately jamming a Wi-Fi signal is a federal crime. The Communications Act of 1934, as amended, prohibits any device that willfully or maliciously interferes with the radio communications of any station. The FCC fined a Las Vegas hotel $750,000 for jamming guest Wi-Fi. They were using a Wi-Fi blocking system to force guests onto the hotel's paid network. Section 333 of the Communications Act. The fine was in 2023. That's not a hypothetical. Even a Raspberry Pi with a high-power Wi-Fi dongle running a DoS attack is illegal. DoS packets are forged disassociation frames that kick devices off a network. Transmitting them deliberately is a federal crime.
So jamming is off the table.
Jamming is off the table. But here's where it gets interesting. You're allowed to transmit on Wi-Fi channels. That's what your router does. And if you happen to use a high-gain directional antenna aimed in Dove's general direction, transmitting your own legitimate traffic at legal power levels, and Dove's devices happen to see your signal and get confused about which network to connect to, well, you're just running your own Wi-Fi network.
The client steal attack.
The client steal. A 15 dB panel antenna aimed at Dove's apartment broadcasting your SSID at the same power Dove broadcasts theirs. Dove's devices see two networks at similar signal strength. Some of them might roam to yours. They won't be able to connect without your password, but the attempt itself causes disruption. Devices drop their connection to Dove while they try to associate with you, then give up and reconnect to Dove, then see your signal again and try again. It's a denial of service attack implemented entirely through the normal operation of Wi-Fi protocols.
That sounds legally murky.
It's legally murky. You're not jamming. You're not transmitting DoF packets. You're just running a very directional Wi-Fi network. But the intent is clearly to interfere with Dove. And if someone from the FCC showed up with a spectrum analyzer, they'd see a strong directional signal aimed at your neighbor's apartment, and they'd ask questions. The practical reality is that enforcement is complaint-driven. Dove would need to identify the source, file a complaint, and the FCC would need to investigate. For a residential dispute, that's unlikely. But the risk is real, and the ethical question is whether you want to become the thing you're fighting. Dove is blasting signal into your apartment. Now you're blasting signal into Dove's. You've become Dove.
There's a parable in there somewhere.
The RF arms race. Dove increases power, you increase power. Dove gets a new router, you build a directional array. Dove calls the FCC, you end up with a $750,000 fine. Nobody wins. The only winning move in an arms race isn't to play, or to escalate so far beyond the opponent's capabilities that they can't possibly respond.
Which brings us to Tier 4.
Tier 4. The nuclear option. The DIY SCIF.
For listeners who don't speak government acronym, SIF.
Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility. It's a room designed to block all electromagnetic signals from entering or leaving, so that classified information can be discussed without the risk of electronic eavesdropping. The principle is simple. You surround the space with a continuous conductive surface that forms a Faraday cage. Any external electromagnetic radiation hits the conductive surface, induces a current, and that current flows to ground. The signal never gets inside.
And you're proposing to build one in an apartment.
I'm proposing to explain how one would build one in an apartment, should one be sufficiently motivated. The material is copper mesh with 1/8 inch openings. At 5 GHz, the wavelength is about 6 cm, so 1/8 inch openings, about 3 mm, are far smaller than the wavelength. The signal sees a solid conductive wall. Cost is $2 to $3 per square foot. For a 500 square foot apartment covering all 6 surfaces, 4 walls, floor, ceiling, you're looking at about $3,000 to $6,000 in materials.
6 surfaces. You said 6 surfaces. Floors and ceilings.
Every surface. RF doesn't care about architectural conventions. If you leave the floor unshielded, Dove's signal comes up through the floor. If you leave the ceiling unshielded, it comes down through the ceiling. The mesh has to be continuous, and all the seams have to be electrically bonded, overlapping by at least 2 inches and secured with conductive copper tape. Then the entire mesh needs to be grounded to building steel or a dedicated ground rod, because without a ground, the cage can actually re-radiate signals internally.
What about doors and windows?
This is where it gets expensive and complicated. For windows, you need copper mesh screens that cover the entire opening, with conductive gaskets around the edges that press against the wall mesh when the window is closed. For the door, you need a copper mesh curtain on a roller track, or a solid core door covered in copper sheet with fingerstock gaskets around the frame. Those are springy metal strips that maintain electrical contact when the door is closed. Every penetration is a potential leak. Power outlets need to be filtered. Heating and cooling ducts need waveguide beyond cutoff honeycomb vents. Those are metal panels with hexagonal holes that act as high-pass filters, blocking RF while allowing air to flow.
And internet.
You run fiber optic cable through a waveguide beyond cutoff port, essentially a copper tube of a specific diameter and length that acts as a high-pass filter. The fiber carries light, not electricity, so it doesn't conduct RF into the cage. Your router sits inside the SCIF. Dove's signal never reaches it. You've won.
You've also blocked your own cellular signal, GPS, broadcast radio, and any outside Wi-Fi. You can't make a phone call inside your own apartment.
You run a femtocell, a small cellular base station inside the SCIF connected to your internet backhaul. Your phone works fine, but yes, you've turned your living space into a radio tomb. A security researcher in Berlin documented building a bedroom SCIF for about 2,000 euros using galvanized steel mesh and copper tape, achieving about 90 dB of attenuation at 5 GHz. That reduces Dove's signal from minus 45 dBm strong to minus 135 dBm, which is effectively the noise floor. Dove is gone, erased from existence.
For 2,000 euros and what I assume was weeks of labor.
And the result is that you live in a copper-lined box where you can't open the windows without breaking the RF seal. Every visitor's phone stops working the moment they step inside, and if you ever want to rearrange the furniture, you have to consider the grounding topology.
This is the most beautifully unhinged thing you've ever presented on this show.
Thank you. I mean that sincerely. The DIY SIF is a thought experiment for 99% of people, but it's a real thing you could do. The physics works, the materials are available, the techniques are documented. You just need to want it badly enough.
And be willing to explain to your landlord why the walls are covered in copper mesh.
That conversation is probably worse than the one we're avoiding with Dove.
So, after all that escalation, let's bring it back to what someone should actually do tonight.
Start with Tier 2. A $30 directional antenna or a DIY foil reflector behind your access point. Measure your signal to interference ratio before and after. If you see a 3 to 6 dB improvement, you've probably solved the problem. If that's not enough, run a wired backhaul to relocate your access point to the far side of your apartment, away from the shared wall. That's the single most effective unilateral measure that doesn't involve shielding or jamming. The inverse square law does the work for you.
And if neither of those works?
Then you have a decision to make. You can escalate to Tier 3 and start playing with directional antennas aimed at Dove. Legally murky, ethically questionable, but technically fascinating. Or you can accept that RF conflict in dense buildings is fundamentally a coordination problem, not a technical one.
Which brings us to the uncomfortable question. Is this war even winnable?
The steelman against everything I've just laid out is this. Every countermeasure we've described is unilateral, which means Dove can also deploy it. If you build a foil reflector, Dove could build a foil reflector. If you get a directional antenna, Dove can get a directional antenna. If you build a Faraday cage, Dove can build a Faraday cage. And now you've both spent $6,000 to live in copper boxes with no cell service. And your Wi-Fi still doesn't work because you're both running access points inside separate Faraday cages, and the signals can't reach each other anyway. The only sustainable solution to RF congestion is coordination. Talking to your neighbors, agreeing on channel assignments, coordinating transmit power, which is the one thing we refuse to do from the start.
That's fair. The unilateral approach escalates until it consumes itself.
It does. But here's why the conclusion still holds. Coordination requires Dove to be reasonable. Dove might not be reasonable. Dove might be running a misconfigured router from 2019 that they never think about, and they wouldn't know what a channel is if you drew them a diagram. In that world, your choices are to suffer or to act unilaterally. And the unilateral options we've described, especially Tier 2, are effective, legal, and cheap. You can solve the problem tonight for $30 and some aluminum foil, and Dove will never know anything happened.
The next time your Wi-Fi is slow, remember? The enemy might be named Dove, but the war is fought with decibels and copper mesh. Choose your escalation wisely.
And if you do build the SCIF, send us photos. We want to see the grounding topology.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping this show running. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
Try not to start any RF wars in the meantime.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.